Let us pray together. May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So we were gathered together on Wednesday night here, and we were doing the Bible study on honoring our neighbor's faith. And what were we talking about this last week? Seventh-day Adventists. But that was very good. You remember, Seventh-day Adventists. And while that was going on, I kept getting text messages. And I normally never look at my phone when I'm in a meeting or gathered with a group. But I was looking at my phone because my niece was in labor. And she was in labor the entire day. This poor kid was exhausted. And so we didn't know when the baby was going to make his grand entrance. And so I kept looking, and I knew she was tired. And I kept on sending prayers to my sister-in-law, to her mother, saying, I'm praying for her, that God give her strength. And this has been an exhausting day for her. So baby soon to arrive. I go home. And God lays on my heart to give her this prayer. Jen, the baby's coming soon. God is just doing the final knitting together. And God is kissing the baby. She didn't name the baby yet, but we knew it was a boy. Baby is being kissed by God. God is giving last hugs, last kisses, and last minute instructions before he releases him into your care. And then when the baby arrives, the Holy Spirit will breathe life into him. And you'll know that when he lets forth his first cry. And a minute after I sent that, I got back this from my sister-in-law. Arrived. Arrived. I said, well, now's my chance to name the baby. Because they hadn't said what the baby's name was. So I'm praying, and I hear God saying, Joshua, Isaiah. So I send it back. God says, Joshua, Isaiah, Zelenka. And I get this back. Trey, Michael, Zelenka. Almost identical, right? But here, the whole family is gathered around her, and the baby, this beautiful baby, is being born. And they wrap the baby up in, what do we wrap babies up in? Receiving blankets, where there's warmth and there's love, and the baby becomes the center of this room. All are gathering around. This child, Trey, a.k.a. Joshua, okay, is in the midst of the family who have gathered to welcome this miracle into the world. She's exhausted. Everybody, kind of heads out, and her husband are there. And, they're thinking back, I'm thinking back on all the preparation for this child. I flew up there. I was able to leave here on a Thursday to attend her baby shower on Friday and fly back on Saturday morning. And I thought about how this baby just received all these gifts, and everyone was waiting. I knit and crocheted 2 blankets, all praying. We were all praying for this baby, all preparing for this child who is coming into the world. Right? That's what we do. Trey now has 2 brothers, older brothers. They're 7 and 10 years old. And my niece was saying how they were taking the clean dishes out of the dishwasher, so they're unloading the dishwasher, and she can overhear them talking to each other, saying, I wonder what he's going to be like. And they're saying to each other, I can't wait to meet him. Just how exciting is that? Receiving with open and loving arms this new baby. This new baby who is defenseless, who is helpless, powerless, vulnerable, who really, as a child, when you think about it, might not have any what we would call usefulness. Jesus tells a story this morning about a child. And, you know, the disciples, they are, Jesus tells them what's going to happen to him, and they kind of like, you know, like, we're not asking him about that, because that's not what we want, it's not what we're expecting, so we're not even going to ask Jesus about that. But then they start arguing with each other, right? And what are they arguing over? Who's the greater? Who is the greater of those that are there gathered? Don't we do that? Who's better? Who's the better mom? Who's the better dad? Right? Who's the better teacher? Who's the better worker? Who's better? We're constantly comparing ourselves. And so when they get to the home where they're at, notice it's a home, Jesus asks them, so what are you guys talking about while we were on the road? And, you know, they don't want to tell Jesus what they're talking about, so they don't tell him. But he knows what they're talking about. And he says, by taking this child, that it's not about greatness as the world understands it, but it's about greatness in Christ, and as Christ brings greatness and power into the world. And so he takes this child, and he calls the disciples. And notice where this child is placed. Not in the front, not on the sides to make a quick escape when it's done, not in the back so as not to bother anybody. Where is this child? Right among them. Right among them. And an important thing to know about children back then in the first century is that, and I hate to say it like this, but it is true, they held no value. They held no value. They held no status. Nothing. It's a far cry from what it's like for children today. It's almost a vocation today to be a child, right? I mean, everything becomes centered around the child. And I'm not making an opinion on whether that's right or wrong. It's just what it is, because that's how we embrace our children. But that's not how it was back then. So this is a symbol of the most vulnerable of all people. And Jesus says, look at this child. Whoever welcomes this child, it's whoever receives, is a better word for the Greek. Whoever receives this child, one like this child, receives me. And whoever receives me, receives my Father. How hard is it for us to receive the vulnerable? To receive the powerless, to receive those who have no status in this world. It is really, really hard. Really hard, if we're really honest with ourselves. You know, when we look at what's going on over in Syria, we see hundreds of thousands of people fleeing a country so that they can be safe. They flee with their families. They say, I never, ever thought we would ever be in this position. And they are looking for a safe place to go. Countries begin to take them in. And then countries begin to say, we can't do this anymore. You need to find somewhere else. Are they invited in the midst of the community, or are they placed in areas where they can be taken care of? It's hard. Really, really hard. And it's easy for us to maybe criticize when we're sitting here. Real easy. But what happened when there was the group of children and mothers that came from San Salvador walking thousands and thousands of miles because of the gang violence that was there, and that they so wanted to have a better life for their children, and they were willing to risk it all to get to the United States. You know, our assistant to the bishop, Jaime Dubon, is from that country, and he has just recently, in the past few months, lost a nephew to gang violence. He lost family members, a brother, to gang violence. It is rampant in that country. And what happened when they crossed the border and came into California? They were greeted with welcome and received. And they were greeted with, go back home. Some were welcomed into the country and were able to be resettled with family who was here. Others were sent on a bus and told, go back home. It's really hard to receive the vulnerable among us. Really hard. How about what's happening in Cuba? That might hit a little closer to home for us, right? How about when the United States welcomed in the refugees in the 60s? Anybody who hits our beaches from Cuba can stay. But what happens to those who can't hit the beach? It's tough. They have to go back. And when they go back, they have to pay a fine. But there was an interview, actually this morning, just this morning on television, where this man said, I will do it again. I will risk my life again and again and again so that I can leave this country. Wow. Powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. And yet we can tend to get caught up in the, we don't like the governing folks, and forget about the people, the vulnerable, and welcome them. So hard. It's not easy. Not easy at all. What God asks us to do, what Christ asks us to do, is not easy. That sentence is really hard, just like last week's sentence was really, really hard. Especially when we make statements about things like, unless you're adding to our economy, we don't need you. Really? Could you imagine if Jesus had said that? Unless you're doing something for me, I'm not dying for you. But we have a God who makes himself so vulnerable, who goes to the cross, so that we may have eternal life, so that every single one of us is saved and will be reconciled to God. What a receiving blanket we get, huh? What a receiving blanket. God's royal robe that we are wrapped in while we are still indeed sinful creatures. God gives us the most glorious of receiving blankets, each and every single one of us. No matter where we are, who we are, where we live, that's who our God is. God doesn't say, what are you doing for me today? As we hear perhaps every single day at our jobs. What are you doing for me today? No. God comes in a way that is so unusual. It's almost like we take it for granted. God comes as the suffering servant, the one who allows himself to be betrayed, allows himself to be beaten, allows himself to die, all so that we can be reconciled. You see, the strength, as this world identifies strength and power with wealth and what we're doing and status, oh my gosh, Jesus flips that right upside down and says, no, 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 no. Strength, power comes from being vulnerable. Strength and power comes from being the voice that is perhaps maybe the dissenting voice that speaks up for the person who can't. That's where power comes from. Thank you, gracious Lord God, for giving us the ultimate receiving blanket, that receiving blanket that we were wrapped in our mother's wombs, and that receiving blanket that you wrap us in now, and that receiving blanket that will wipe away every one of our sins permanently when we come into your presence. Thank you, gracious Lord God, for that receiving blanket. And as God's beloved children, let us share that receiving blanket that we wear with those who are the most vulnerable. Let us too be servants as Christ served us. Amen.